Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.617-779-0985. Max in the truck has been hanging on. We'll lead off the hour with this. Go ahead, Max.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, hey. Joe?
What's up, Max?
So that's not 28 yards of mulch, though.
I didn't say it was 28, Max. Oh, you're a big landscaper guy now?
I have my own company, actually.
How many yards do you think that is?
Probably, like, 10.
It was a 20 yard drop, and I took away about a third of the pile.
Ooh, all right. You need help spreading that, though?
I always use help spreading that thing, yeah.
You say it was a 20 yard drop. Was it in a 20 yard container?
No, it was in a mini semi.
Well, I don't, that's not a size mini semi. What?
It wasn't a normal dump truck. Normally, you have landscape dump trucks. Max still there? He'll tell you. Like a regular size dump truck.
Depends on the dump truck. I mean, you have a F-550. You can probably put 6 yards of mulch in it. You have a big, like, talking, like.
Do you know what a 20 yard dumpster looks like? Do you know what a 20 yard dumpster looks like?
Yeah,
it's like it was on one of those longer trucks, a dump truck like that.
And was it filled to the brim?
Oh yeah,
overflowing.
And it had one of those covers on it. It had an automatic cover.
So you had
They have a conveyor belt.
My phones are frozen, Jim.
Oh yeah, I could do it too. You had a 20-yard dumpster in your driveway, correct? So
that was a 15, the last one. Yes.
Okay.
But I've had a 20.
Would you be able to fit that mulch that got dropped in your driveway into the 15-yard dumpster?
It overflowed it.
Well, you got to think because it's going to go up the sides. It's going to fill in all the corners.
The 15-yarders are cut to V at the bottom, so it's a little deceptive. The 20-yarders are square, completely square.
I don't know. You said you had a 15-yard dumpster.
I had a 15-yard dumpster.
But then you said you had 25 yards of mulch, which became 20. Did you really have a 10-yard dumpster?
I requested 25. Okay.
You're telling me now you had a 15-yard. Could it have been a 10-yard dumpster?
No.
Had 25 yards of mulch yesterday, and now it's 20.
I sent you the picture of the dumpster. You can look at that in past text chain. The dumpster was full. That was a 15-yarder.
Okay.
The mulch would overflow that thing, that dumpster.
We don't know that.
All right. People don't care. People really don't care.
People care.
Oh, people care.
They care deeply.
Max does. He wants to come help spread it. That's great. It's all the help. But Sean's down here working his ass off.
Jim, I can't even see the calls anymore because...
we have a turtle egg expert here on line one.
You want to take him?
Yeah, yes. Sure. What's his name?
Absolutely. Jason North Attleboro.
Jason? Jason in North Attleboro, go ahead.
Turtle Boy.
Yep.
Hey,
what do you
all
got?
All right, guys. All right, Hardy.
Yep.
First thing you got to do is get rid of the turtle. You got to grab it by the tail, stick a stick in its mouth,
put
a bite on that, and get rid of it. Not stick it down its throat. Let it bite onto it.
That turtle is
a female. It's laying eggs, and if it finds a spot it's comfortable with and does lay the eggs, chances are it will be back to where it laid it every year. I work at a golf course. We have turtles. Today I was just leaving now after mowing, and we have turtles all over the course laying eggs. So it's that time of year, and they will hatch and be everywhere.
That's great. You got baby turtles running. Hardy's going to be running over them.
Every year, Hardy. Every year that thing's going to plant its ass right in your front yard and have babies.
It's like a perennial. It's like you bought a perennial plant.
Hey, Zoe, you ever see like those hosta plants that you can't get rid of? They, no matter how hard you try and dig it out and get rid of it, that thing just keeps coming back.
Hosta, yeah.
Yeah,
I got them all in my yard. Well, they can't get rid of
them. That's it. Once you have them, they're there for good.
They get bigger every year, Beetle.
None of these options are good.
I have one in my yard. There's no getting rid of it.
Well, none of these options are good. Ken on Twitter says, just leave the turtle alone. It'll lay its eggs and go back to the water. Then raccoons and skunks will eat the eggs. Oh, good. Because now you mean I can have raccoons and skunks going underneath the steps of my front porch?
Absolutely.
That's not a good option.
That becomes the problem because the skunks will tear your yard up worse than anything you'd ever seen. Skunks are the worst thing you could have in your yard.
Justin asked if I tried enticing the turtle with pepperoni pizza, and does it talk to a rat? No, I don't think it's one of those turtles. Thank you for the question.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. The chances of me sticking a stick in the turtle's mouth and grabbing it by the tail, while it's under the steps, I'm gonna call that slim. I don't think I'm going to be reaching my hand down there to grab its tail.
Well, I think you should sort of reel it with the stick first. Get them on the stick. Get them on the stick.
So to
her
speak.
On the stick. And then
on the pole. Could I use a pole?
Get her on the pole.
Get her on the pole. So this
and
is.
And then when she's riding that pole, you just grab the tail, drop it into something that the turtle can't get out of, like a trash barrel. And then you bring that barrel down to the pond and say, boop, there you go.
I don't know.
I wish the turtle was in my yard. I'd go out there and mess with it.
Do what?
Play with it. Come here, kids. Look at this thing. That's awesome. That's good luck. It's good luck to have a turtle in your yard. It is. We've had him in Pittsburgh. We've had him here. I feel like I'm a lucky guy. And it's like a sign. Like then I
always
pop
turtles.
Up. We'd be in Pittsburgh and we'd have it pop up. Like, and my dad's like, look at it. This is good luck for you terrapins. You're going down there. You got the big game coming up. And then up here, they'd be up for a game, and a turtle come walking through the yard. I'm like, look at this. This is like good luck against before the next start.
This
awesome.
This is not based on any ancient folklore. This is just Zoe's
football.
Anecdotal experience. Like, it's like me saying, you know what? Those turtles keep the crocodiles away. I've never seen a croc in my yard, so there you go.
Jim, are there any other turtle calls that we need to do? Jim?
Yeah, I think our phones are frozen here, too.
Okay, they all died.
Great.
All right, should I call animal control?
No.
No. They're not going to do anything for you.
I don't. Hardy, honestly, I don't think it'll stick around.
Animal really control is, quite frankly, one of the most useless outlets going.
Oh, now we're going to get the phone calls.
They're barely ever open. They're barely ever, like, there. Forget it. It's not their job. Like,
we have one more call if you want to go to it.
The animal control is basically like when someone gets attacked by a dog. And they got to show up and do something about it.
Hardy, that thing's huge, though, man. Like that, I can't believe it's like 30 years. That thing's been grown for 70 years.
Let's go to Susan in Holliston, please.
Hello.
Hi,
hello.
Susan.
All these callers are a bunch of dope. You guys are being dope. I am the turtle expert. First of all.
Well, what are your credentials, Susan? Let's hear.
Okay.
Susan, if you're going to declare yourself an expert, let's hear it.
All right. My credentials are every freaking stray, sick, herd animal comes my way one way or the other. So I've been doing this for years. The turtle is not a turtle. If what you explained is under your porch or whatever, that's a tortoise. That's a land turtle. If she'll lay her eggs and she'll never be back again. They don't care about their young. They just lay them and whatever happens, happens in about two
so they're
months.
Rude. These are rude turtles, rude mothers that just depart their kids.
They just, even turtles. They lay their eggs and smell you later. They don't come back to them. They don't care. It's fend for themselves. So in about 2.5 months, if she does lay her eggs there, you'll see them. All you can do is pick them up and put them in a safe spot close by. That's all. And about sticking a freaking stick in its mouth by its tail. You can't pick up a tortoise by its tail. I'm 130 pounds, 5'6". I have a pair of gloves that go up to my elbows. They're dangerous. They can really get you. They can turn their heads pretty far back.
Oh, yeah.
But also, what you have to worry about are their back claws, because that can do the damage.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, boy.
The freaking thing.
Oh, boy,
and also,
Susan.
No, the turtle.
Like, how many stitches would he need if it tore his leg open? Like with one of the back claws?
Oh my God. No. You're a strong man. Put on gloves up to your elbows. But you don't have to get rid of them. But how about that turtle? They're called painted. They're not painted turtles. They're called red-bellied cooter turtles, which are federally protected.
Dump that.
Meaning you can't
Goodbye.
Crap.
All right, I've heard enough. I've heard enough.
Crazy cat lady. She's a crazy estranged wildlife lady.
Her credentials are everyone brings her the animals.
I don't even know they bring.
Dr.
I have
Doolittle
all manner
here.
Of wildlife
you
showing
got a
up
sick
at
animal,
my door.
Take it to the crazy lady.
24/7. I've got rabid coyotes. I've got skunks with the mange.
Spiders.
I've got hoot owls. They all come to me. So everyone, shut up and listen. You got a cuda-bellied land tortoise. The gloves ain't going to save you. The back claws will rip you open like a pinata. I'll hang up and listen to you tremble with fear. Thank you, Susan.
Hardy, I just texted a vet. I have a friend who's a vet.
Yeah.
I want to get a doctor's opinion on this is what I want to get. Get a doctor opinion on,
yeah,
on
but,
the turtles.
You know, you can... These vets, they don't treat all animals. This is, I think, falls under the category of exotic. Does this vet friend of yours treat exotics, or is this just your run-of-the-mill, like, cat and dog vet?
This vet has treated every animal under the sun. So I'm gonna see what she knows about the snapping turtles.
Okay.
And what should be done here.
All right.
Yep. We'll get to that. 617-779-0985. What the NBA's plan entails for when they go to Disney. Some of that is coming up next, and hopefully we can get our phones sorted out as well. Stand by.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
We've been dealing with a group of our experts plus public health authorities down in Florida now. And the view is that if we are testing every day and we're able to trace, in essence, the contacts that player has had, we're able to, in essence, contain that player and separate him from his team. And we're continuing to test every day. The belief is we would not have to shut down if a single player tested positive.
We're going to get to the NBA and Adam Silver. I just need to mention something real quick for you, Hardy. My vet friend, Dr. Bentley, just texted me back. I'll have to reconnect with her during the break. But when I said, what do you know about snapping turtles? The first thing she said was, be careful around them. They carry salmonella, so don't start touching it.
Yeah.
So that's one more concern for you. One more thing to be careful of. Get the big gloves.
That one I was kind of like already hip to because back when Super Blom Blom was pregnant with number 2, she was going through a nesting phase, I believe is what they call it in the books, and had taken our eldest down on a little, you know, jaunt downtown one day. I was working. I was on the air with Troop, and she calls me up. She says, well, we have some new pets. And she bought a couple of red-eared sliders. They were down in Chinatown. And so, like, I think that's illegal. And number 2, what do you know about them? Oh, well, their names are Sam and Ben. And Sam, he's the curious one. But Ben, he's a little shy, but you can tell he's smart. And she is just going off on these two turtles. But immediately found out you can't handle them without scrubbing your hands to death afterward. And they are the slimiest, smelliest, most filthy pet you can own. And you got to keep buying bigger tanks and filtration systems and everything else. We had them for years, these two turtles. And that was something we learned early on. They're like, oh, yeah, don't you dare, like, think about, you know, taking it out and handling it and petting it and stuff, and, you know, unless you want to be puking your guts out all night. That, you know, that's the fear anyway. So yeah, I wasn't about to touch this thing with my bare hands if it's anything like the turtles we had before.
She said.
All right, you just heard Adam Silver of the NBA. Adam Silver saying in his video chat last night that they wanted this to be as normal as possible. And I think he was answering to some of those reports that were out there about the NBA considering just doing a 1 through 16 or a tournament, and they didn't ultimately decide to go with any of that. Let's go to the bullet points here of what the NBA has decided on. They will play 22 teams in Orlando, which we discussed yesterday. 13-9 is the breakdown. 13 from the West, 9 from the Eastern Conference. Let's just go. Do you like it or not? Do you like that? Yes or no?
Well, I like it that the best teams will be in it, and that it should be more conference balanced, right? Because if you want to have fairness in this thing, because there's a reason you have two conferences, and it should play itself out. I can see why a team would bitch about it though.
No. I don't like this. I don't like how it's unbalanced, and I also don't like how they felt they need to include all these extra teams. You know, like, as if we believe an 8 seed is actually going to win an NBA title. No one buys that. No one believes that. All this work to figure out who the 8th seed is going to be in each conference? For what? They have no shot. No matter who the 8th seed is, they're not going to win.
I think that remains unchanged. And that's
there's nothing you can do about it. That's what it is. You know,
we looked at that when it first came out, like the 13-9 thing, or like, what the hell is this? You know, what are they doing? Why is the Eastern Conference getting the shaft? This isn't like, you know, how it normally is, even though this season isn't. But does it really matter? Don't you expect it to be the same 3 or 4 teams that you would have expected before? Only this time it's going to be maybe one more from the Western Conference as a result of this. I mean, does it change all that much? Does it change who the favorite is in the NBA final? Does it change who
you're...
No.
The extra work on the 8th seed drives me crazy. Like, they did all this thought to get to the... It's stupid. And if they wanted to just play extra games, they wanted to pick up a regular season to get ready for the playoffs, then they could have just done the balanced number of teams in each conference. They're going out of their way for an 8th seed in each side, which is crazy. Not necessary. So I go no on that.
The answer is no on that one. Go ahead.
How about the regular season extending by 16 days, this very point, the regular season, with 5 or 6 games per day? How do you feel about that?
I think the NBA players are going to love this. It's like AAU. It's like being sequestered in Washington, D.C. for the National AAU Championship, where you could stay in a hotel right next door, and we have 4 courts going at once. You're going to play 2 or 3 games a day, back-to-back. We'll give you 2 hours or 3 hours, put your feet up, go back to your hotel room, get a snack, come on back, we'll play some more basketball. They're going to love it.
Yeah.
The Celtics are going to play 8 games in 16 days.
Well, yeah, but I heard them talking about this on the morning show, and they're like, this is going to be awesome. We're going to have wire-to-wire from sun up till sundown basketball. No, they got three courts, and Jim said it yesterday. I don't know if this was anything officially you saw, Jim, or just your idea, but yeah, 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. games on the 2 courts.
That was just my guess.
Yeah,
they said they're going to put 4 hours in between games, which I thought, oh, my God, they're going to – I thought that was the time from the end of one to the start of the other. But no, that's the start of one to the start of the other.
Yeah, okay.
So you can play your 2 hours, 2.5 hours. If it goes to overtime, it's 3 hours.
Yes.
Then you get an hour to clean the court.
Yeah, so you've got 3 courts that can handle 6 games a day. It's not going to be wire-to-wire basketball. Now, you're going to have it every day, and you'll have teams playing every day, but I don't know that you're going to be able to – are they going to figure out how to show all the games nationally?
I have a question about this.
I do,
where
too.
Where are they going to practice?
They have arenas. That guy, yeah. Keith Smith, that writes for Yahoo, I think it is now, that used to work at Disney, that came up with this idea in the first place.
Okay.
He said they have 3 main arenas, and then they also have a big, like Zoe's talking about, a big, like, warehouse.
Where you see, like, those AAU tournaments.
Yeah, it's like 10, 11 courts or
whatever. Oh, okay. Okay, great. No, that's excellent, because that means they won't have to tie up one of those 3 courts for practices for anybody or shoot-arounds. That's good. No, I didn't know that. Excellent.
Here's my question to corporate Jim.
Yeah.
Us having the being the flagship station for the Celtics, we would have the games on then, right?
Correct.
Yeah, a lot of early days for Felger and Mass
that
to get off early.
Felger and Mass. All right.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Unless they just rotate them, like Hardy said, that's the thing. Are they gonna make the TV schedule like okay, hey, it's summertime. We're going to put a 1 o'clock game because it's summer on one of the, like, the lesser courts or something. I don't know. Like,
no, this is a good question, though, that Hardy just asked. I think you asked about national TV, Hardy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that the local rights holders are going to have their game. You know, NBC Sports Boston is still going to get their Celtics games. The question is, as a result of all this, and by the way, we talked yesterday, probably a pool camera type of setup.
Yeah.
So they're not going to, every team doesn't get their own cameras. The league will handle the video and production of the game and then feed those feeds back to the stations that carry the games. But as a result of all this, will the Celtics game be shown on NBA Network or on another station, ESPN? Are they going to show all the games nationally because of the situation we're in? Normally, that wouldn't be the case for a regular season game. But obviously, these are unusual times, and the league probably has a chance to cash in by showing out-of-market games to everybody when they're on. You know?
Yeah.
Like the Celtics games in Boston, you're still going to watch your local affiliate. You're still going to watch NBC Sports Boston to watch the Celtics. But when that game's over and there's another game on between whoever, yeah, you could turn over to NBA TV or to ESPN2. Or I wonder. It's a good question. I think they should do it if they can, if they can get everybody to sign off on that.
Well, if, like, the Lakers are playing the Suns, are they going to start that game at, like, are they going to wait and push it to, like, 9:30 so that the West Coast can have it, like, in the evening? Because all
they
the
should.
West Coast is going to be early. If they start these games early, it's going to be early on the West Coast, too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if 9:30, maybe 9? Like, there are college basketball games on the East Coast that start at 9 o'clock.
So,
that
like, this, think about it. There's 22 teams. That's 11 games going on at a time. So, if you're playing 8 games in 16 days, you're basically playing once every other day. So, you have 11 games every other day. So, you have 6 games one day, then 5 games the next. Then 6 games one day, then 5 games the next. That's probably how it's going to work. So, you're going to be able to spread them out as much as you want. We're using 3 different arenas, so if you want to stagger them and have like a 2 o'clock start and then a 4 o'clock start, and or, you know, you could stagger it so that NBA TV has wall to wall basketball all day long.
So we talk about this as fans. You know, do you like that? All those games, 8 games, 16 days. I do. I think it'd be good.
Yeah.
But you know why I really sort of like it? It's good for the players. They're going to be completely immersed in playing the games. And they're not going to be focused on the fact that they're away from home, away from their families, et cetera. Like, it will probably be better for them mentally to have the games every other day.
The thing is, Jim, with the wall-to-wall basketball all day long, they could do that. But after this long layoff and just a little bit of camp to get ready, and then you're going to ask these guys to get back and start playing every other games leading directly into the playoffs, that time off on that one day off that you have, are you going to want to play the 10 o'clock game on Monday night, and then, oh, on your schedule, you're going to actually have the 10 a.m. on Wednesday?
Not saying 10 a.m. I'm saying, like when you say wall-to-wall, say you start at 1. Like, on a Saturday, you'd start at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, usually, on a playoff Saturday.
Yeah, and if you had the late game on Thursday night,
you probably have to spread them out by, like, 2.5 hours. So if you go 1, and then 3:30, and then 6, and then 8:30, you can have 4 games nationally a day.
I wish they would do that, and I wish they would have basketball on all day long. I just wonder if, you know, asking these teams and these players to go from not playing at all to, all right, ramp up quickly, and then we're going to be on the schedule where you're not quite playing every, you know, it's not a game every, it's like a day and a half. You're going to have like a day and a half off in between games. They may want it more on a more regimented schedule where it's like, not, you've either got the 4 o'clock or the 8 o'clock. Don't worry, you're not going to have a 10 o'clock game on a Friday night and then have to play at noon on Sunday.
Depends how much TV revenue they're trying to make up, because the players want to make up the TV revenue too. That's less money they lose because they have a split system in the NBA,
right?
Don't they?
Yes. No, you're absolutely right about that. More on the NBA and their plan to come back. Do we like some of their ideas? Do we hate some of their ideas? What do we think of the NBA? But they are coming back. They are ahead of the pack right now in terms of getting some games going. We'll talk more about it with your calls. We just reset the phones, so the phones are back up and running. 617-779-0985.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Bullet points here. Some bullet point items on the NBA's plan to play games again. 4 hours between games, as Jim had mentioned. You know, maybe 4 and 8 are the game times. That's to accommodate overtimes, cleanings, and warm-ups. The league will use 3 courts in the complex for the games. I do wonder if 4 hours is enough. Does that sound crazy of me to say that?
No.
What's your average game? 2.5 hours? So what about all the warm-ups that players do long before a game begins? Because
yeah. Shoot-arounds and all that. Yeah.
Right.
Maybe you utilize those other arenas. You're in the same complex.
Yeah, so that's what I'm sort of wondering. If they go to those other courts right before their game.
That's kind of the feeling building. That you're going to basketball camp, really. Like, for you know, you go to camps and all you do is play basketball all day. You know, you sleep in a certain place. You wake up. You have your breakfast with the whole crew. And then you move over here to this court. And we're going to do drills in the morning. And we're going to shoot. Then we're going to do this game, then that game. They're going to feel like they're a basketball camp. It's going to be weird for them. I bet you the players are going to bitch about this. Especially the 4 o'clock games.
In the 8-game regular season format, each team is expected to play 1 back-to-back. I mean, yeah. Is that a big deal? You're playing 8 games in 16 days. Does it matter that there's a back-to-back in there?
No.
No. I don't think it does.
I think it matters that there's only 1 back-to-back, not 7. You know what I mean? I think that's
I don't. What do you mean? Oh, like you're not going to...
The low number matters, not that it's a big deal that they're playing a back-to-back. The fact that they're only playing 1 is good.
Is great. Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah, okay. That's a better way of looking at it, a more positive way of looking at it. It's only 1. That's pretty good that they managed to figure that out with scheduling.
Right.
That there's only 1 in there. The NBA is expected to be aggressive in moving up the dates to start playoff series when the previous round series come to an end. This is what should happen all the time.
Exactly. Instead of
this is great. Yeah. They should adopt this forever.
That's kind of what we've talked about too. Like, what would really be like the positive ramifications from these restarts and having to refigure out regular season and playoff formats? What if there were some really cool things that they came up with just out of necessity that they could incorporate long term?
That's one of them, right there.
Yeah.
As soon as we can have a series begin, we're gonna start that series.
Well, it seems like you have a good, smart commissioner, and that's the one league that potentially could blend these things in.
Yeah. You know what could happen in theory?
Commissioners.
This is just in theory, so try to follow along. I know it's always hard to talk about stuff like this. Like, let's say to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, both of the Eastern Conference Finals teams are determined. Yet in the semifinals in the West, they're not even done with that series, and they don't know who's in the Western Conference Finals. Start the Eastern Conference Finals anyway. The Eastern Conference Finals may end up being a 7-game series, while the Western Conference Finals end up being a 4-game series. They can end up ending at the same time, right?
Guys get more rest if you sweep people.
That never gets considered. It's always like, well, it's not fair if you start one early. Well, why? Because those teams in the East would be getting rest while the West is still playing. That's technically not fair either. So the other thing could be, hey, one of those series could go long and another one goes short, and then you could start the NBA Finals sooner. So I'm all for that. That's great. I think everybody wants that. Am I missing anything here? Let's see. The NBA Finals is going to include games every other day. Of course, there's no travel. What's your excuse not to have it every other day? You're not going anywhere.
Yeah. I would say you might want to avoid Sundays during football season, because that's going to be during football season.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
So every other day, hopefully that factors in the other day is Sunday that they're not playing.
Yeah, but Jim, I mean, I just think we're in a... And then what? If you instead have it on Monday when there's Monday night football, like...
That's fine. Saturday night, though, is like their night anyways, and then you skip Sunday, and then you go to Monday. If you're going to have to play on one of them, I'd rather play on Monday than Sunday.
Yeah.
I guess.
If you can set it that way. If not, if it's like gun to the head, we're in different times right now in this year, right? Be thankful for playing. Be thankful they're playing.
I mean, they want to get to their off season as soon as possible. You know, they want to get their draft in as soon as possible. I don't know. I guess what you're saying is right, but I mean, there are going to be conflicts. I'm sorry, there just are. there's going to be conflicts in the a good NBA Finals matchup would do better than a Sunday Night Football game that is mediocre. Like, I know Sunday Night Football is the premier window in the NFL, but there are plenty of Sunday Night games that you're like, yeah, I'm done with this by halftime. Not much going on here. It's not like every Sunday Night Football game is great.
No, they've got multiple games. Too. I understand with the Masters and CBS trying to make concessions for each other, but if you're going to restart, you're going to play games, you're going to put your schedule together, and there are going to be conflicts. There are going to be conflicts with the NFL.
So that's Pat's Seahawks, September 20th, right? That's in that window.
Yep.
If it's early. Pat Seahawks, September 20th. September 21st is the Monday night game, Saints at Raiders.
Whew.
That's probably a little too early, the 20th.
Maybe that is too early. That doesn't make sense. It would have to be the following.
So the next 2 weeks.
The following week?
The next 2 weeks. The Packers at Saints on Sunday Night Football.
Could be good.
Monday night, the 28th, is Chiefs at Ravens. Wow. That's a great week.
Oh, see? That's what I'm saying. So you move it to Monday, and you've got Chiefs-Ravens as your matchup.
0.0.
So it's like you're hosed there either way.
If it extends out to the furthest it probably can go, would be Sunday the 4th of October is Eagles at Niners, or Monday is Falcons at Packers.
Yeah. That's a peek in. See how the game's going, and then you can tune out of that one.
So I guess it's week to week. It depends on which week it is.
Right, but that week you just named with the Ravens Chiefs on Monday Night Football, that's going to be in the middle of that series.
Man.
So they're going to have a game on one of those 2 days, and they're just going to have to accept that because of everything that's happened, there are conflicts. There just are. How do you avoid it? What do you want them to do there? Play Saturday, skip 2 days, play Tuesday?
We're going to go from 0 to 60 on sports viewing. And no, I mean, that fall is going to be insane.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Head whiplash.
Going to be overload.
Crazy.
Going to be sports overload.
Hardy, how long are those damn headlines going to take? Get through all the scores. Like all the leagues playing at once. Jesus. They have to worry about baseball. Baseball won't play.
It can be in.
Take that back.
You know what? Let's get to that. Baseball's not going to play.
Oh my God.
NHL, who's leading this thing? Who's leading the great sports comeback?
This was T-Bone's question earlier. I thought it was a good question.
Yeah, we'll get
night.
To that coming yeah. up. We'll get to that coming up in the noontime hour. But next, we're going to have this date in show history.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores. .org/Noah.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Anyway, I don't mind, but you better promise me I'll be back.
All right, I hear we have a good one today, going back in time. This date in show history, what do we have?
We have, from the year 2015,
yeah.
The date, June 5th. Yeah. June 5th, 2015, 5 years ago. Now, this isn't our show, but I guess it's us commenting on it, would be my guess.
Okay.
Oh, we played this on our show. On June 5th. That probably happened on June 4th.
Okay. Tony Maserati had a bit of a meltdown. I remember this. Live on the air during the baseball reporters.
Okay.
Over the Red Sox and their base running blunders. So this must have been like a matinee that had gone late. Does that sound right? I remember Maz being on the air.
Oh, was this a game against Oakland? Was it a game against Oakland? Why do I think it was against Oakland?
I think Maz was on the air at 6, and the, like it was happening. Well, we'll listen to it. We'll listen to it.
Okay.
Let me tell everybody what just happened in this inning. Here comes the conniption, everybody.
Hanley Ramirez is on second base. Let me back up a little, Murray. Hanley Ramirez is on second base in what is a 4-4 game on a ground ball hit to the left side for some ungodly reason. Hanley tries to run from second to third on a ball hit by Mike Napoli. For some unknown reason, he gets tagged out. So he takes himself out of scoring position. Napoli ends up at first with two outs. Xander Bogaerts then bloops a ball into right center field. Mike Napoli goes to third. The ball comes into the infield. And for some reason, some ungodly reason, Mike Napoli, who the last time I checked had lead in his ass and concrete in his legs, decided he wanted to try to score and got tagged out easily at the plate to end the inning. For some ungodly reason. Oh, my gosh. This team.
Oh,
that's not fair, right?
Napoli tried to score from first on a blooper to right.
All right, then.
Okay.
I miss that show. I miss that.
Baseball Report is a good show.
This is the money. Was
he getting docked his pay?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You don't do it. You don't get paid.
All right. Let's go to 3 years ago. This is 2017. Excuse me. Oh, yeah, it is 2017.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's hard to believe it's 2020.
Yeah. Zoe tells us how he almost bought a certain piece of real estate, which we're all amazed about.
I don't remember this.
This has to be the Pointer Sisters.
Oh,
one of the
right.
Pointer Sisters lives down the street from him here in Massachusetts.
Wow.
I looked at their house. They built the house out in Rentham. Was it built by all the sisters, or was it one pointer
single
sister?
Yeah. But you had rooms for all the sisters. It had a nightclub with a disco ball in it. That's the best part I liked.
Yes.
And an indoor, pool.
What year was that house built?
Indoor pool, probably early 90s.
So it was a newer construction home when you.
But
looked
it was
at
all. It was all like wood, like log cabin-y. It was weird.
Nice as a rustic touch to it.
No neighborhood.
Log cabin with a disco ball
with a gate. Right. An indoor pool.
None of this happened.
Four-car garage with another three-bedroom apartment above it.
It was built by the Pointer Sisters. The Pointer Sisters built a log cabin with an indoor pool.
Yeah.
In a gated community.
I don't think it was a gated community, was it, so?
No, it was in the middle of the woods.
But it had, it had a gate at the electronic driveway.
Yeah.
Yeah, couldn't see the house.
Zoe's shown me on the map where it was. It's pretty interesting.
And at that time, you know, it's right off Crane Street there. You'd see it. It's near the probably like the back part of the property probably butts up against the quarry that's over there. Yeah, and just at the time, no kids. You're looking at this thing and thinking, God, oh, man, I could have the biggest parties in here and just sleep people everywhere. Like, I was thinking, three-bedroom apartment above a three-car, four-car garage, separate from the house. You put 20 people in there.
Right.
16 people could sleep over here. We'll put people in the pool area. Like, who the hell wants to stay over someone's house after a party? You got to wake up and look at everybody.
Pointer Sisters party? I would. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Because they're so excited. They could play that hit, not like sing it live.
Jump for Your Love?
Oh, my God.
Indoor pool. Oh, what DJ a pain booth. In the butt that must be. Oh. Nice, though. Nice to have.
Yeah, I guess. But you don't get any sun. You know what I mean? Defeats the purpose. Kind of cool in the summer, though.
Well, it's great in the middle of winter, though, when you have a full pool in your house.
Damn
the
right.
Indoor pool is cool in the summer?
No.
What?
He's cool in the
winter.
He's okay. All right. I thought you said it would be nice in the summer. No.
No, I said it'd be cool in the winter, in the middle of winter, with a pool in your house.
No, you said. I thought he said. You said you were okay. All right, this is from 2019. It's only a year. This is crazy.
Wow.
So, Chara with the broken jaw.
Oh, God.
Right? So we took calls, always a good idea, on people's personal experiences with broken jaws.
This is one where at your injury of a broken jaw may actually be applicable to Zdeno Chara's broken jaw. Kevin in Fairhaven is an orthodontist.
Put in a couple screws, you get some swelling. That's a typical bar fight. You get punched in the chin. You break what's called the condyle. Maybe make him a little bit of a thicker mouth guard and he'll be good to go.
Rich in Quincy broke his jaw
playing hockey.
I actually got punched in the face in a street fight, but I was still playing for the UMass Boston hockey team. I had to keep scissors on the bench in case I needed to cut the bands off. Had to throw up.
Craig in Tampa once took a slap shot off the jock.
New England state semifinal hockey. I lived on painkillers like Tic Tacs. Every time you move your body, not even to the side, you felt it.
Michael has had a broken jaw.
2000 and I believe it was one Okinawa, Japan.
Nice.
I thought I had loose teeth. He's like, no, look in the mirror. I was moving half my jaw.
Well, that's straight out of it. That's like Ken and Lowell's story.
Yeah.
2001. Dateline, Okinawa, Japan.
I broke bones in over 24 countries. We took broken jaw calls.
We did for a whole day.
Yeah.
We've been taking an entire day's worth of broken jaw calls.
And
it was awesome.
What were we thinking?
We were here to entertain the people with those calls, and we did.
Finally, as we've been ending all of these.
There's even more today.
Yeah, well, every This Day in Show History now has been ending with the drops. The drops from all
I like the drops.
Yeah, all the things that just got said in passing, completely out of context, all strung together. All these from some June 5th or another over the years, This Day in Show History.
Okay.
Well, I was working this place called Greasy Tony's.
So it's Omar.
Rancid, rancid halitosis.
Prosciutto or whatever it's called.
I saw you last night at the hotel.
And we'd fight.
Aw, thanks, Zoe.
And Stephen A. Smith delivers news on Kyrie Irving and where Kyrie Irving will be going.
Nets now, right?
That was Shaughnessy blowing up the tees.
What an angle.
How many years has he been doing this?
I didn't know where that one was. I didn't know where that one was going because we got the Ken and Lowell stuff at the beginning.
Well, I was working this place called Greasy Tony's.
And everything is like funny, and then this very serious one at the end.
And where Kyrie Irving will be going.
Nets now, right?
idiot. And we all just looked at him.
And we just stared at him in silence, like,
you moron. Why don't you open up another can of soda on here?
Dude, we're going to get to it next.
Jesus.
We're going to fill the people
in Jesus.
Right after that. There's new news. We'll tell you about it coming up right after this. You got to stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We're going to tell you. We're going to reveal it. Big reveal. Nets. That's what he's going to tell you. What? All right, then. That's good. Good one today. Jim wasn't lying.
When does Jim ever lie? Jim's a bad liar, actually.
Was this the same day that we got the prosciutto, we got the wine that we can eat?
Yeah.
Because he started in it a little bit of it right here.
Rancid halitosis.
Prosciutto or whatever it's called.
I saw.
The prosciutto. We got the wine. We got the prosciutto. Yep.
Man, oh man. Now we're not going to eat.
That was two. He had two prosciutto calls.
Oh, that was one of his two.
That was the first of the two, yeah.
Yeah, multiple prosciutto calls.
He was talking about getting ready for the Belmont.
Oh, okay. Well, then. Okay, 617-779-0985. We want to get back to the NHL, Major League Baseball, and NBA situations. We'll do that coming up in 90 seconds.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores. .org/Noah.
They were
matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know, I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
They work.
Arr, matey.
While you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight.
Noontime hour here on a Friday. 617-779-0985, the telephone number for you. You're on Zolak and Bertrand. Now, we talked a little bit about the NBA's plan for their comeback. They seem to have their ducks in a row. They know what they want. Here's what's going on in the NHL. They're finalizing their playoff format, and they have announced that it will be a reseeding. Well, it's been reported it will be a reseeding, which means there will not be a bracket format. After each round, they will reseed. That, according to Pierre LeBrun, tweeting that the NHL and NHLPA have put the finishing touches on their format. Among the open issues resolved, both sides have agreed it will be a best of seven in all four playoff rounds and a best of five in the play-in round. Teams will be reseeded after each round, not bracketed. How about that? Best of five. Do you like that? The Bruins will still play the round robin, which means they play three games. And in the other series, they could play up to five, if need be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like it.
I think it adds a little more balance. I do like that. And I like the
reseeding. Sort of makes more sense in the NBA. It makes more sense in the NBA. It does. Now, I understand why the NBA is that. I mean, there's such a difference between the top teams and that. And I think hockey's so much different than basketball, obviously. But again, I mean, if you look at the path of least resistance, right? That's what we talk about all the time in sports. And the Bruins' road was pretty damn favorable last year. Let's call it for what it is. It was a favorable road. You avoided the big dogs, and you could possibly avoid two of them here. You know, a high-end type talent team like a Pittsburgh, or you know, you go down the list of teams. Yeah, I like it. It favors the Bruins. Take care of business. Stay seated where you are, and you know, the top team's going to get taken care of. Just go out
in addition
the best
to that,
team, you know.
In addition to that, Pierre LeBrun reports that keep in mind that the only thing agreed upon is the format. He tweets: "Still to come are Phase 3 training camp and Phase 4 games, hubs, and protocol, which still have to be negotiated. Only preliminary talks so far on those fronts." What are these guys doing with their time?
Hold on here. Okay, so
will
Baker...
somebody explain to me what the hell these two sides, whether it be players or just the league internally, what are they doing? How are they spending their days right now if they haven't figured out the training camp aspect or anything to do with the games themselves, where they'll be played, or the protocol for safety and testing? What the hell have they been doing since March?
I don't know.
We're 3 months into this now. What have they been up to?
It's been weeks now since your building's been cleared and been open for practice. You know, we're one of the last states to do that. You know, Baker was in on that. He cleared it. Hey, you're free to go back and start using your facilities to practice. Now,
and 3 months isn't fair, right?
Base.
Like
go
3 months ago, we didn't really know what the hell was going to happen. But
no,
let's
you're
say,
getting close now.
What have you been doing the last 2 to 3 weeks? Let's leave it there. What
Once
have you been doing for the last
rolling.
20 plus days?
See, at least baseball's been doing something which says we're actually getting further apart here. Like, when we talk baseball, you almost look at them and say, they're never going to play. Where finally you get the ball rolling in a positive direction for pro sports to play, NBA's taking it, you're developing stuff, and okay, what are we waiting on here, NHL? Is it really Canada that's dragging things? And we talked about this yesterday. Is that part of it?
No. Why would it be?
I don't know.
Like, to negotiate where they're going to play? You don't need to know where the guys in Canada are. I mean, you may have a problem with when do we start. We don't know. But here's what we're doing when we do start.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have to, you know, safety protocols. Do you need to have your guys from Canada in the States to figure out what your safety protocols are going to be? No. So get moving, NHL.
I would feel so much better about it. You're right, Beetle. If they just had the towns, tell us the cities, tell us where they're going to play. And if they know, why aren't they saying?
You know, like that process has been going on for 2 months.
It's a long time to figure out where you're going to be having these games.
That's the NHL. Have you seen the statement from Major League Baseball's players in the MLBPA?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me read this to you. In this time of unprecedented suffering at home and abroad, players want nothing more than to get back to work and provide baseball fans with the game we all love. But we cannot do this alone. Earlier this week, Major League Baseball communicated its intention to schedule a dramatically shortened 2020 season unless players negotiate salary concessions. The concessions being sought are in addition to billions in player salary reductions that have already been agreed upon. This threat came in response to an association proposal aimed at charting a path forward. Among other things, players propose more games, 2 years of expanded playoffs, salary deferrals in the event of a 2020 playoff cancellation, and the exploration of additional dual events and broadcast enhancements aimed at creatively bringing our players to the fans while simultaneously... I can't even read this crap. This is such a load of garbage.
You know what it is?
It's
almost like they hired Larry Lucchino to feed you one of those mid-season crappy things to season ticket holders to make sure that you're feeling okay. But this is the reason we're doing what we're doing. Yeah. It's almost like Lucchino.
Here's where they're at. Both sides are now dug in their host. That's it. Their host. They're screwed now. It's now June 5th. And no one has stepped up to the plate to try and bring the two sides together. No one has, made a move to get everybody in some sort of agreement on anything. They can't agree on anything, and that's the way it's going to stay because now they're digging in. Players are digging in. They apparently had a call a couple of nights ago where the players are in lockstep with one another in fighting back and, you know, digging in against the league. So that's it. They're not going to have a season. That's the way it looks right now. I think it's unlikely at this moment, which is really shameful. And I thought it was going to happen. I did. I really did. Until about a week ago, I thought they'll figure it out. They're going to figure it out. They're going to get closer to this deadline. They'll start moving toward each other. They're going to realize it's best for both sides to figure something out. Nope. They're not doing that. So
the NBA will go as far as to reroute the whole freaking league to a site down in Florida and even telling them, you can bring your own courts with you. Celtics, you want to bring your parquet court that you love so much? Bring it down. We'll find a way to squeeze these home games in for you on your own floor. But yet, baseball can't even get the game parameters out there. That's how far apart you are.
So T-Bone had asked us in our pre-show meetings and notes,
yep,
you know, who's leading the pack right now? And it's so obvious. I mean, are we counting the NFL in this, or are we counting the...
No, they don't have to restart.
Yeah, nope. They haven't played anything.
NBA.
Right. Their season has not started yet. Right now would be the middle of basketball. Right now would be the Stanley Cup final. Right now would be baseball season. And so if we're counting those three, I think it's pretty simple. I think it's easy to recognize. Basketball, NBA, the leader, the NHL is behind them.
Yep.
And a distant third is going to be Major League Baseball. That's how this is going so far. The NBA's got it together.
And by the way, as much as they are in the lead and they've got their plan, they do all that, if you were to tell me a couple of months ago that the leader, the one that other leagues should look at and say, wow, they've really done it right, was the league that was going to play their first game a day before August, I'd say we're nuts. Like, baseball will be playing before that. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, the NHL, they can't... Yeah, they're going to restart, but they're going to have to do it before then. You can't be playing NHL games in August and September. You know, like, what it's... So...
End of next weekend.
Obviously,
we're mid-June, bro.
Yeah.
We're middle of June, smack in the middle of June. end of next weekend.
And I'm not saying the NBA isn't at the forefront, but holy cow. The league that is doing the best is the league that is going to play their first game on July 31st. Nobody's doing great. The NBA is doing the best, and they should be applauded for having it done. And the NHL, if they are getting closer, Major League Baseball gets no credit at this point because it's looking more and more like they're not going to play.
Looks like they don't want to play. Like, even the NBA players have been a mouse out of us because it seems like, you know what? We want to play. We know it's in our best interest to play. It's going to take us a while to ramp it up. It's not going to look perfect, but best team should win that. You know, most talented team should win that. Mm-hmm. Just get out there and play. Get through it. Let's get this over with. Let's get one on the records. We did what we could to get this season done. And you got to feel pretty good about that. Baseball players feel like crap right now.
No, I think it's both sides. Like you said, Zoe, it's not just like we talked about the owners, how, no, they're of a mindset, and some of them have spoken off the record saying, like, yeah, we just would rather not play. It's going to cost us way too much money. But it's on the player's side, too. The players wanted to play. They figure out a way to get back to the table and say, okay, the prorated salaries is one thing. That makes sense. We're not playing all the games. But what about taking a bit of a haircut on the games we do play? And Roundly rejected that notion, and they are dug in on that. So it doesn't sound like they want to play all that much either.
And there's no desire to get creative, which is so annoying. None.
You don't think 114 games at a full prorated salary is creative, Beetle?
No, I don't think that's creative. I think when baseball comes back with the 50, you say, yeah, you know what? We can work with that. Can we tweak it a little bit? Can we protect our lowest paid guys? And, if that means – the highest paid guy makes a little bit less. I mean, hell, David Price has given out $1,000 to every minor leaguer in the Dodgers system. So he's shown a willingness to do things. There are players in this league that have been willing to take money out of their own pocket. And I mean, literally, David Price is taking money right now and paying other guys in baseball.
Yeah.
So he's obviously got he's got a willingness to work with things in the current situation.
An awareness, too.
He's got an awareness. Like, there are players in this league that have a clue. And I didn't think David Price would be one of them, but he most definitely is. Get David Price in the room. See what he can figure out. Because there are guys who want to do something right now.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And I think they all look bad. I think the leadership on both sides looks terrible for not getting creative, for not committing to each other to figure something out. There's no commitment to each other in that sport to figure something out. So they will suffer as a result. Nobody will make any money this year. I'm glad that makes you happy, guys, that no one gets anything. Yeah, well, hey, they made that bed. They can all lie in it together with no income. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. There was a video put together by NFL players last night that debuted. We had that off the top today. We'll get back to that. And a cryptic tweet from one player about the Super Bowl against the Eagles, Super Bowl 52 and the Patriots. That's all on the way.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.